just like your own, where your word will find sweet soil everywhere that it is sown. Break up my fallow ground, rid my heart of sinful stone. Break up my fallow ground, my heart, your throne.
Lord, you saved me with your blood you shed on Calvary, and sweet blessings you have given every day.
But my stubborn heart has often not been yielded to your plan you had for me, your perfect way.
Chapter 6 tonight, if you would. 2 Kings chapter 6 this evening. Again, it's been a good week. Appreciate Brother Elliot coming and being with us this week, taking the time to do that. It's been a blessing. I've enjoyed personally the fellowship all week. We've had a good time, or I have anyway. Can't speak for him, but I've had a good time at lunch and solving the problems of the world and just fellowshipping around preacher stuff. And so that's been a blessing all week. And yes, man, it's been a good service every night. And Lord, if you didn't get anything, not because of Brother Elliot, just because God. I mean, if you get anything from his word and the preaching of his word, something's wrong this week. Yeah. So, man, I hope God has spoken to your heart this week about this thing of prayer. It's been worked out just as I had hoped and prayed, finishing out our year on prayer and as far as our theme is concerned. And so just praise the Lord, amen, for he's good, isn't he? God's just good. 2 Kings chapter 6, if you would, verse 1. Notice there, if you will, 2 Kings 6 and verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put it out his hand and took it.
Thank you, preacher. Before we pray, and I want to join us together in prayer, I want to say my deepest thanks to you first, Pastor, to offer the invitation to come. And we have a kindred spirit. We have enjoyed each other's fellowship this week. I tell you, it's refreshing to do that. We need that sometimes as preachers. But I want to thank each one of you that there's just a wonderful spirit here in this church. And I want to thank you for making me feel welcome, and you have. And that means a lot. And you're just good people, and I thank you for it. And I could just go on down the line. The music has been tremendous. And I thank the Lord for the choir, for those ladies that play the piano, all the special music that tonight. My heart is thrown, and that's what God wants. And just so much, and just your enthusiasm to sing, and it's just so wonderful. Brother Steve, you do a good job leading singing. Don't let it go to your head, but you're doing a good job. Just liven up a little bit. You'll be all right. Don't you like that? That's good. And how can I thank all of you ladies that have worked in the nursery? And that's a sacrifice to go down and work and care for the kids. But what a wonderful ministry it is. And thank you for that. And then you that clean the church. Man, we could go down the line. Then I want to thank y'all for that good food. It has been wonderful this week. I have so enjoyed being able to come down before services and eat. And you know, one of the things when you're travel like I do, and you're in churches, you get to know people occasionally, especially if you return, but you don't get to know them real well. You kind of know who they are, and they know you, and probably know you a little more than you know them, and you try to remember their names and whatever. But when you can go down like we did Sunday after church, and then each night, and meet with a couple or two, and you get to know a little bit about them, where they came from, how they got saved, their children, and things like that. And boy, that's a meaningful thing. And Pastor, I think it's a credit to you and your good wife to think of something like that. And it means a lot. And I just want to say my deepest thanks. I won't be able to tell you thanks personally, each one of you, but I want to do it publicly. Thank you so much. Let's pray together tonight. I know we've come to another passage, but believe me, we will be back in the model prayer. Father, as I come to stand here tonight, I am a deeply grateful man. I think this morning, even as I woke, how I could just start counting my blessings, and I guess it'd take all day if I took everything that you provided for me. Lord, I take for granted so much through the course of the day just how good you are. And Lord, then I come into places like this where there's just a kindred spirit, and it's just a wonderful thing, and it's refreshing to me, and I thank you again for it, Lord. Thank you for these good people. I'm always mindful, Lord, they didn't have to come tonight. They could have done a lot of things, but they chose in their own volition to come, and I thank you for that. I thank you for everything you've done this week and how you've just provided in such a wonderful way. And Lord, we just look to you. We want you to move in on our services, to be preeminent, to gain glory for yourself. So please take this, your word, and speak to us tonight, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Thank you for standing while I went through that. The chief cardinal of the Vatican ran in to the Pope's office and said, Your Excellency, the Lord Jesus Christ has just ridden in on a donkey. What are we to do? And the Pope shuffled a few papers and said, look busy. I think about that a lot. God puts no premium on laziness. If you want to be lazy, don't read the Proverbs. God's pretty clear about that. But neither does he want us to think that just because we're busy means anything's happening. We can get into a world of busyness, can't we? I mean, from our work to our family life to everything, and it's just busy. And the thing is that sometimes in our lives we can begin to think that is the busier I am, the more effective I am. And it can sometimes be. But that isn't the barometer. Not at all. And I thought about that because I see a lot of busyness, and I've wondered in my life how much busyness. I look back in my pastorates, and I just pastored for about close to 18 years, a little over 17 and a half years. How much of my time was just busy? And what did I really accomplish? Would I have been better off to been on my knees in prayer? Would I have been, all those things go through your mind. And that's kind of what I want to talk about as we come tonight. And the reason that I have chosen this text to start with, because it's going to take us into this last marker on this journey we call prayer. And I hope you've not got off on an exit, and I hope you've been cognitive every day of what God is trying to say to us about this thing of prayer more than words, that God is trying to change our life. And God has a purpose for every one of us, and God wants to use us, but he has to do something to us before he can use us. And so we talked about being ready to pray and getting right and clean before God, and then hungering for him. I guess I could preach on that every night, because that is the key point. Hungering for God more than anything in this world. And then because of that, God begins to change us. And then as God begins to change us, and he's doing that through the word too. Understand that. As we hide our heart, the word in our heart, and then God takes it in his presence and begins to change us. Then he begins to strip us of ourselves and bring us to the end. And if he can bring us to the end of ourselves, that's a big milestone. But it can't end there. And so now we move on. And I've chosen this text to start out to sort of get us on the same page and see what we're talking about. Elisha and the prophets are going to build a place for them. I don't understand all what they wanted, but they didn't like the place they were at, and they wanted to have a dwelling place that they could be together. And however that worked out in the time period, I don't know. But they had to cut down trees and build it. And you know the story. And so they're out there swinging their axe handles and cutting down trees. And all of a sudden, one of the guys loses the axe head. Now, we know the whole story and we know how the story comes out. But I want you to stop and think for a minute about busyness in this guy. Because here's a guy that's out there as dedicated as everybody else, but he loses his axe head. So what do you do at a time like that? Well, he could have said, looked around, man, guys are going to think I'm awful if I'm not doing something. And he could have started slapping them trees with that axe handle. Now, it would look good, right? I mean, he'd seen the other guys over there sweating and going, and he could, and they would look to him and say, hey, old Bill's over there going at it. He's bruising a few trees, knocking some bark off, but he's not accomplishing a whole lot. Why? And we know why. If you have an axe and you don't have an axe head on it, you don't have much, do you? I suppose you could, whittle it down and then start stabbing the tree or something. But you're not going to get much done, because that's the power. And that's what God is teaching here. And he is the power, right? He's taught us that throughout the word of God. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, therefore, go. And so what this man lost was his power. And if you lose your power, then what are you doing? Nothing's happening. And that leads to this last marker that we need to talk about on this prayer journey. And that is our seeking or craving or longing for the Holy Spirit's control of our life. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. We don't talk a lot about that today, but it's very vital. Remember, the Lord said, I want you to come to the end of yourself. That's what happened to Isaiah. And that's what we were talking about last night. And that's what he meant in the model prayer. When he said, the kingdom of God's in you. I cannot get the will of God done on earth unless you get out of the way so I can do it through you. So now if a person comes to the end of themselves, then what's going to fill their life? You remember Jesus said, if the unclean spirit goes out of a person, then it wanders around and comes back seven times worse. Why? Because if a person just empties himself and doesn't fill it with something else, then the same things comes back but worse. So God would not say to you and I, well, I want you to come to the end of yourself and then say, but later just fill yourself up again with yourself. He wouldn't do that. And that's why the Bible is replete with be ye filled with the Spirit. Because Christ is in us, but unless he has control of us, then he's just in us. There's a lot of confusion today about that, and maybe that's why we back off of this. But I'm telling you, until we want to be led and controlled by the Spirit of God, and that's what we hunger for because there's none of us left, then we've not got to the last marker. Now, you know that Jesus told the disciples in Luke 24:49, tarry ye till be endued in power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And we know all those verses. And we say to ourselves, and isn't it amazing that every time there's something laid out by the Lord, man can divide it into two or three camps. And you got camps that say, well, we got all the Holy Spirit we're going to get. And other camps that you got to have this later and all that. You know what I say? I don't care either camp. The truth of the matter is simply this. Does the Holy Spirit have you? That's the whole key that God is saying here. It's not a matter. The Holy Spirit dwells in us as believers. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is not some kind of a... You know, the charismatics has done a number on this Holy Spirit thing, haven't they? They've gone wild and crazy on this thing, and it's not even scriptural. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is a person who lives inside of me. It's the third person of the Trinity. And when I'm filled with him, doesn't mean I got a zapper. You know, well, God feel me. I'm going to teach Sunday school class. Like, okay, he's going to pour a little in my head today. No. It's when you and I are emptied, he fills us.
Right.
That's what it is. He's already there, and he's always saying, Charles, you get out of the way, I'd fill another part of your life. If you'd get out of the way, I'd fill another part of your life. And when I finally could ever come to the end of my life and say, Lord, I give every bit of it, he said, oh, good. Now I can control your life. And that's what the filling is. It's the controlling aspect of our life. He controls my thoughts, my plans, my dreams, my actions. And when I fail, I suddenly am zapped by him and said, oh, that was a fleshy thing. And I'm sorry, Lord, that he fills me again. And on we go. So it's not some kind of a thing that makes my spine tingle. It's the Holy Spirit controlling our lives. And after we come to the end, we realize in our life that if I'm gone, he has to be everything. He has to fill me, and I have to want that. And that's why Paul said, don't be drunk with wine, where is it? But be filled with the Spirit. Now there's a context in what he's saying, all that, but the whole thing is the same. He wanted that, and he talks about in Romans 8 of being led of the Spirit. And what we're talking about is a person finally saying, you know what? Life is all different to me now. I want it to be him. I want him to control everything. I want the Lord to be everything in my life. He is my everything. There's a little chorus I used to sing called Jesus is my everything. Jesus is my everything. He's everything to me. And we can say those words. But how much of our life is the flesh rose back up again? And so this becomes a daily thing, not a weekly and monthly thing. A daily thing to come back in the model prayer and say, am I clean? Are you really everything, Lord? How much of me is here today, and I want you to control my life or fill my life? And it's at that point, folks, and it's the only point that God can get glory. Think about it. As long as I'm involved, God can get no glory. And God doesn't tolerate rivals, and God doesn't tolerate rebels. God wants glory out of all of our life, and he cannot get it until we say, I want him and not me. I want you to captivate every part of my life. That is what it means to be filled with the Spirit or controlled by the Spirit of God. And that's the place he gets glory, and that's where the life is changed. And I want you to see this tonight, because when we come to the end tonight, you know, we're only here 4 days, and we can only just mention three or four things, but the proof is in the pudding. It's in every day in my life I find it. I have to say, Lord, is this true? Not every week, every day of my life, is this true? And if it's true, it'll control three aspects of my life for sure, and maybe more. One is my prayer life. Now go back. You thought I forgot about the model prayer. Go back to it, Matthew 6. And I'm not going to read through. You already could quote it yourself. But he tells us that, okay, after this manner pray, our Father, I'll go ahead, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Here's the part we like. Give us this day our daily bread. And if all, most of us are probably honest, for us, most prayer is just that part of it, asking. And that's what we're supposed to do. And it is what we're supposed to do. There's no doubt about that. We could preach all evening on you don't have because you don't have, ask, you ask amiss, and all that kind of stuff. So you're not hearing me say we don't ask. But if you'll notice, the model prayer is three parts about him and one about us. And we want to ignore those other parts, and God is saying, no. Why? Because if I change your life, then your prayer life will change. Right. You won't be the same kind of person in prayer. You can't be the same kind of a person in prayer. The old timers used to say, once this happened, your water changes. That's the truth, isn't it? Because all of a sudden, when God gets control, all the things we think we wanted, we don't particularly need anymore. Why? Because when we're in his presence, those things vanish away. Old songs come to me, but one just hit me now. Remember the old song that the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace or whatever that is? Yeah. And that's what he's saying. Go back, if you will, very quickly, if you want, to Psalm 37:4. And you know this, but look at it with me for just a moment. We'll move on. But this shows you how the prayer life will change. Now, God says, yeah, it's a part of it. So we can say, give me, that's asking, my needs. But notice the way he phrases that, my daily bread. Now, we can get in a whole sermon on that, and I don't have time to do that. But he is the bread of life. And what we're really, it's full circle asking for him again. And we're asking for his word, and we're asking for him to change me. And it's suddenly a whole different way we approach God. Listen to what it says. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now we're back to beholding him. Delight yourself in the Lord. Not in the things of the Lord. In the Lord. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, that doesn't mean he'll give you anything you want. It means he'll give you the desire. He'll put the desires in you. Isn't that amazing? That's what we were talking about that night. When you and I crave to be with him, and it's a whole different realm of living. I was talking to a brother about that this week that was talking about how hard it is to be silent. Have you ever tried that since the last couple of days? It's hard to be still. Your mind wanders, and all kind of, hey, we're all the same. But as we learn that this is important, and we learn to listen and learn and be still before the Lord, there's a new kind of relationship that starts. Now, it's only going to be valuable if you have the Word of God hid in your heart, because he works through his Word, doesn't he? He's the living Word going through the written Word and speaking to our heart. And he begins to change us. And what does he do? He starts to change our desires. And sometimes we say to ourselves, I wonder why I pray and I don't get my prayer answered. Well, Mark 11:24 said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Now, we focus on believing, but we don't focus on the desire. Was the desire of God or of me? See the problem? And so when we see this prayer journey, it's going to start to change everything. We're not just going to turn this thing into a heavenly vending machine. God, you know, and I said this the other night, and I wish I had time to preach on the message, but I think we're in the midst of Christian humanism today. I think it's killing us. Because humanism, the end of humanism, is the happiness of man. And listen, I don't care whether you where you turn the radio on today or TV, it's all about the happiness of man. That's what life's all about. Be happy, make me happy, make me happy. And we can use God to do that. You know what we're doing? We're using God. I'm going to use you, God, to make me happy. That's not why we're here. We're here to do it for His glory. And so a lot of times what we do is prayer just becomes that place we start asking God for all these things we want. How do we sift out what's right and wrong? Well, we can do some through the Scripture, can't we? We can get a lot of things settled if we could look at the Bible and say, well, God didn't teach that, you know. God, please, if you will, knock my neighbor silly for ruining my lawnmower. Well, you pray, we'll get that prayer answered, but you don't have to spend time before the Lord. No, that's wrong, right? Okay, but there's a lot of things in our life we don't know is wrong. And so if we spend time before the Lord, it's amazing how you'll say, I don't even know why I thought I needed that. I don't even know why I would even ask God for that. Why? Because God's changing the wanter and the desires. And notice the word, give us. Prayers are not selfish now. My sister in the church has a need too, God. And my brother has a need too. I like that word. Give us. He didn't say give me my daily bread. Give us. We're a church, right? Give us. Not just me. And so when we say, God, fill me or control, let the Holy Spirit control my life today, not me. Then when I pray, and I'm praying the way the model prayer says, and I'm focusing on Jesus, then the desires change. And as God places that desire in there, you can be sure you're going to get it answered. Might make a difference with it. But it also changes the whole path of our life. That's the second thing. We all know John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's don't forget, He is the way. But He's not on the way to heaven, He's the way after heaven. And we can talk about Him being truth, and we can talk about Him being life, but it's there that He changes our way. And that's what happens then when we want Him to control. So when we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, please may it not be me. You control me today because I know me, Lord. Almost every day I try to ask it because I know this old boy. God, deliver me from Charles Elliott. Please, God. Please overcome me, show me, lead me. When I'm going, I control my thoughts, control my words. Why? I know me. And I don't want it to be me. But if we forget that and we just merrily go along days and weeks, the flesh creeps in slowly, doesn't it? It starts to take over again. And this is where it takes on the pathway of our life. And there's two or three things that you can see along the path of life that are important. And I want you to think with me, and I wish I had a lot of time to just delve into each one of them. But I really believe that when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit and not self, we'll just put it this way, when we're Spirit-led and not self-led, our whole purpose of life changes. Because there's only one purpose for a Christian, and that is glory. And we've talked about that. But do we really believe that? Do we really wake up and say, my purpose on this earth is God's glory? That's my purpose. That's my sole purpose. 1 Corinthians 10:31, what things soever you do, whether you, listen, it's mundane, it's whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. God said, you pick up a cup of water, you do it for the glory of my name. I wonder why he would talk, eat or drink, because that's a mundane thing of life. The smallest thing in your life, don't you forget, you do it for my glory. Why? Your purpose on this earth is my glory. Not to be happy, not to climb the American dream, my glory. Finished. So is that our purpose? Can we wake up in the morning and tell God, that is my purpose? Your glory. Then it'll change our priority. I won't take you back there. You can go if you want. Matthew 22, starting about 35. The guy comes and says, so what's the great first and great commandment, Jesus? Oh, I'll tell you what it is. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and strength. So now my priority in life has changed. I'm to love God more than anything. So can we wake up in the morning? Not if we're not filled with the Spirit. If we're filled with self, we won't wake up in the morning and say, I love you, Lord Jesus, with everything in my heart. And our life starts to prove it. See why this is a journey? We don't just say words at God and say, I prayed. We're being changed by God on a journey. We get off on an exit, we don't make it. And my priority has changed. I love Him. I love my family. But I love God more. Could you say that? Could you say I love God more than my husband and my wife? Could you say that? More than my children? Some people love their career. And that's why they don't spend much time at home. Some people love to fish. And usually it's proven by where we spend our time and who we spend our time with. And I wonder if Jesus doesn't say, you love me, right? Then why don't you spend any time with me? Well, I love my wife, and the wife says, really? Really? You really do, right? Well, sure I do. Amazing, isn't it? We get found out, don't we? We sure do. But it's not natural to us because we live a natural life, and salvation is something that happened September 11, 1969. Old Charlie got saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And to us, it's an event. And it was an event. It changed my life that day. Was that all it did? God moved in, took up residency in my life and said, look, I want to control you. I want every single ounce of you, Charles, every bit of it. Well, I'll give you this and I'll give you that, but I want this. And God said, and he's long-suffering, isn't he? He works with us, but he's constantly going to make so that we finally give in. And he can make it hard on us, or we can do it the easy way. And so our priority changes. We can get up in the morning and say, I love you, Lord, more than anything in this world. And then it's amazing that our practice changes. What do you mean by practice? Just our practice of life. There are two kinds of Christians in the world today. There are self-led Christians and spirit-led Christians. Galatians 5:25 said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. All of us live in the Spirit, but not everybody walks in the Spirit. And spirit-led people don't think the way self-led people do. I had this illustrated to me not long ago by a man. I'm going to tell you a story in a minute. But let me just tell you, in my mind, you can separate self-led Christians from spirit-led Christians by whether they're what I call T-bar people. Now, you're going to say T-bar. Well, that's a little phrase my dad taught me many years ago. It's really no more than taking a piece of paper, drawing a line down the center, and putting yes on this side, no on this side. But my dad taught it by a big capital T. And he said, okay, over on the left hand top of that T, you write yes. On the right hand, you put no. You write the line down the center. And son, when you want to know what's right and wrong and what to do, you put yes over here and no over there. And whichever one works out, you got the answer. And so he'd say, Mick, that was my middle name back there. He called me Mick. He said, if you don't know, make a T-bar, boy. So Mick grows up making T-bars. Well, T-bar people know what I'm talking about. Well, if we do this, that's good. Oh, but if we do that, this, that wouldn't be good. Well, that wouldn't be good either. And well, but that wouldn't get, but this might be good. And so they come down to the end and say, well, we're not going to do it because that wouldn't be good. Because they operate on logic and rationale. Now, that's fine if you're going to buy an automobile. Nothing wrong with that. You're going to buy a house? Not real good when you're going to walk with God. Well, we could join that church, but then this wouldn't be good. But that'd be okay, and then but no, that wouldn't be good. And boy, we didn't be good, and that wouldn't be good. And so I guess we won't. Oh, we flip it over and say, well, I guess I could. I could go to Bolivia and I could, maybe I could do some missionary work and that would be good. And boy, that'd really be good because those people don't have much gospel. And boy, that'd be good because I'd be in a whole different culture. And oh, it'd be bad, but that wouldn't be good. Oh, the good outweighs the good. So God, I kind of think I probably ought to go to Bolivia. Will you bless me? So what we've done is, through logic and rationale, figured out how we could pull it off for God and say, now you bless what I want to do. That's what we've been talking about all week, isn't it? Coming to the end of yourself. We're not trying to do it for you, God. We're trying to gather ways so you can use this. So what's the point? Spirit-led people don't make T-bars. Now, if you're going to buy a car, you might do that. Don't do that. I had this illustrated to me. You know, I'm always wonderful when I see it in action. I just want to go, yes. I went out to preach in Nampa, Idaho last year ago in October. And it's a long story, and I'll try to shorten as quick as I can. But the preacher, when he picked me up, reminded me that I had preached at a certain mission conference, and he and his wife were there, and I had mentioned Sri Lanka, and he said this was in 2002. He said, Brother Elliot, I have no doubt God called me to Sri Lanka. He said, he ripped my heart. He said, I didn't even talk to you about it. He said, neither did my wife. He said, we went home and we were both broken. He said, all that through the service, we didn't hear anything else but nudged each other and said, we're supposed to go there. He said, I didn't tell her. She didn't tell me. We just knew in our heart there was something. He said, we started learning the language, got tapes. We weren't even through school yet. He said, we're just doing what we could do. We knew it was good. He said, but as soon as I got out, he said, I had a relative offered me a pretty good position in church. I thought, well, I need some experience. And he said, that was a disaster. And then he said, I didn't know what to do, so I'm out on the West Coast. So I thought, well, I'll just start a church in San Diego. And he did. And he said, that was good. It went good. And things were going along. But we kept wondering, something's missing. But it's okay. It'll be fine. He said, now we end up out here. And guess what happens? I'm preaching at a mission conference. I can't hardly preach a mission conference because my whole ministry is in Sri Lanka. So I just haven't started talking. Monday night, he comes to me, and he's almost crying. And he said, I got to talk to you. And so we greet all the people. We go into his office. Brother Elliot, he said, God's going to eat me alive. And I said, what? And he tells me this whole story. He said, I know I'm not supposed to be here. Next night, his wife comes into the office, and she's the same way. She's just almost uncontrollably sobbing. Pastor, I know God, and we were so wrong. Anyway, so at the end of the week, he says, I really know that I've got, I've got to go over there. I've got to go and see it because I know that's what God wants me to do. But he said, I got a wonderful church. It's growing. It's established. But I got to go. And I said, okay, then bring your wife. And he said, I can't bring my wife. Now, he has five kids, two severely handicapped. I'm not talking about partially, severely handicapped. He said, there's no way she can leave the kids. I said, then don't go. You're not talking about just a little trip for yourself. You're talking about your life changing. And he said, I don't think she can go. I said, then don't go. But I said, don't talk about that. I said, not. And I said, I think you guys can go. If you meant what you said in the office, cry, and I think you can go. Well, make a long story short, they were able to get some people. Can you imagine? Take care of them for 6 days. So he travels around the world for 6 days. And he's broken the whole time. So now he comes back and he's texting me and calling me all the time, as well as the missionary, and saying, I know this is right, but I'm not a knee-jerk guy, and I got to make sure, and I just want to know in my heart. But he said, I can't pick up this book, but God eats my lunch. He said, I don't know what to do. So the missionary had to come back in May for a very short furlough, and some health things with his wife, really is what a lot of it was. He had to see some doctors. They were only here about 2 months. They had to get back. And he called me one day and said, would you meet with me? And this guy's name's David. And he said, would you meet with David? I'd like us to spend a couple hours with him. So we go out to a restaurant, and we ask him if they'd mind if we put us in a corner, and could we spend a few hours. Bought a nice meal. We said, we'll give you a nice tip, but we really need a quiet place to talk. And they said, just stay as long as you want to. I'm not kidding you. We didn't go with the idea of trying to discourage him. But, boy, you talk about laying it out. And I knew what we were going to do, and he did a lot of the talk of the missionary. He just said, do you know what you're getting into when you go to that part of the world? Because we've seen so many people think they're called that part of the world and come back home. And we just went through which the price you're going to pay. It isn't going to be like America. And we talked about it, and here's what he's doing. He's writing notes. This guy's just writing one note after. I can feel it because he's sitting right by me, and I can just hear him writing right now. And he'll go, okay, say that again, Brother Terry. What was that? And, okay, yeah, okay. And he writes it to him. And then Brother Terry said, so you got anything to say, brother? And I begin talking. What are you going to do on deputation? What are you going to do with five children, two severely handicapped? What are you going to do? Where are you going to put them? What are you going to do over there when the doctor looks at you and said, you're an idiot? You left America? And you brought your family here? He writes it down. I'm talking, we're talking hours now. And after he gets through, he pushes his chair back and he said, man, I appreciate you guys so much. You were willing to take this time with me? He said, man, believe me, these notes are not going to get thrown away. I really needed this today. He took a big deep breath and he said, well, I'm going to tell you something. God called me, so I'm going. I wanted to go, yes! No T-bar here. No T-bar guy saying, wow, this is bad, you know. I often think of the Apostle Paul. If you made a T-bar on the second journey, would you have made it? Yeah, this will be fun. We'll get stoned again. Yeah, that won't be God. John Mark will abandon us again. That'll be thing great. No, he wasn't a T-bar man. You know why he went? Because God told him to go. Spirit-led people don't make T-bars. Spirit-led people listen to God and hear the voice of God. They look in the fire, and remember, Elijah, I looked out in the fire and the wind, and God wasn't there, but still small voice. And they know God's saying. Doesn't matter that it makes sense. Doesn't matter that all the things work out on the T-bar. Why? Because their practice is different. They're led of God. And then there's one last thing. And their pursuit in life changes. John 15, if you want to look at it, verse 8 and verse 16. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Well, right off the bat, if glory of God is the purpose of our life in the morning, well, how do we pull that off? Well, God said, when you realize you're on this earth to bear fruit. Well, man, I want to build this house and I want to do it. That's what you want to do. I put you on this earth to bear fruit. You don't think he means it? Look down in verse 16. You've not chosen me. I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth much fruit and that your fruit should remain. It's amazing if you study fruit in the Bible. Read the book of Song of Solomon. How many times her beloved comes to inspect the fruit? You find the little foxes getting on the vines, and he's looking in his garden for fruit. That's what he's looking for us. That's why there's the Great Commission. That's why Jesus said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And greater things will you do than I did. Why? Because you're going to live here longer, and I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you come to the end of yourself, you're going to have the same pursuit I did. I'm just going to say this very straight. If you don't have a burden for souls, you got off on an exit. If you don't care, now, I'm not saying everybody's going to get saved, not in this cold, dirty world. But if you don't have a burden, and that burden will be seen whether you carry a lot of tracts around, whether you got a long prayer list, what you do with missions, and what you do with your daily walk. Do you ask God for a place to witness to somebody today? Are you burdened about the people you work with? Or has it been weeks since you even thought about it? I'm not here to castigate you. I'm just here to say that God says, when you go on a prayer journey, I'm going to change your life. And your pursuit isn't going to be all the things it used to be. Now, he's good to us. He'll allow us to have a nice home, enjoy life. But a person who comes to the end of their life, and that's why the ultimate end is exactly that. The whole reason he came to this earth. And we look at a world and wonder why it's lost, and we don't even try. One reason is they looked at the church and they don't want any part of it. And so they laugh at Christianity because we just go through emotions and don't understand why they don't love our God. Because they don't see our God. And then we don't have a passion. And so we just kind of drift along. Now can you imagine? God wants fruit. Now what is fruit? Well, fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But it's also souls. He that goeth forth weeping, bringing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. Can you imagine dying and standing before God, and he said, where's the fruit? Well, I didn't talk very good, and I was kind of a shy person, and I didn't ask you to. I said, get out of the way, and I'll do it through you. And I can do it in a lot of ways through you. I can do it through the glow on your face if you let me be Lord. But what do we try to do? We try to produce it, and then when we get so frustrated, because nothing's happening, so we just say, well, it's just the world we live in today. It's just a cold, nasty, stinking world. Well, it is. But incidentally, it's always been that way. So it takes what? The power of God to break it down, doesn't it? It takes an axe head. Because we can't just say, shame on the world. Or if we got a new administration, oh, gag. Maybe if we got some sold-out Baptists in there, we might do it. But craziness that we get into. And so it comes down to this on our journey. And it really is hard, but it's very clear. Can you and I look in the morning and say honestly before God, before we ever start a day, my purpose is you, your glory, nothing else. My priority is you. I love you, Lord, and you know it. Could you say that? And you know it, Lord. You know I love you. Can you say number three? I'm not a T-bird bar person. I may do that in the carnal things of life, but God, anywhere, anything, anytime. And God, I've got to see people saved. I've got to help missionaries. I've got to help these guys starting churches. I've got to do something. I've got to have a prayer list. I can't stand my uncle dying and going to hell. I can't. I don't know if I have to stay up all night praying. I can't imagine that the lady at the restaurant is not saved, and I guess I'll try to give them a track. And that's the whole purpose we're on this earth, is for His glory. And He just rolled it right back to us when He said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." So that's the end of the journey. Did we get off? Are we there? And it's not what happened in a four-day meeting in Knobnostra. It's what happens next Tuesday and next Friday and 2 days after Christmas. And the emotion's gone. And God's saying, and He'll tell us where we are on the journey. We won't have to worry. We'll know. We'll know whether we're clean. We'll know whether He's everything, whether we're at the end of ourselves, and whether He's in control. We know it. And that's what He's looking for. Father, tonight I pray You'll speak to us.